God, will the Lord, will the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So in my house this week, we've had a lot of big events to celebrate. As you know, Emma was confirmed last week, so she completed the confirmation process. Johnny's graduation was yesterday, and I still don't really feel adult enough to have an adult child, but there we go. Here we are. And then I'll be celebrating my ordination on Tuesday at annual conference. And so all these shuns, confirmation, graduation, and ordination, all these big celebrations got me thinking about journeys. Because each of them has been and is a journey. It's a point that we have worked towards, and we celebrate that as a culmination. And that's true. But really, each of these events is a beginning. Confirmation, as we tell the kids when they take the class, is not something that we do just to check off of a list and say that we've done it, but rather it is the beginning of our life as an adult disciple. It is where they take the responsibility for their faith, for themselves. Graduation is, of course, an ending of public school, and it's a celebration of that milestone, but it's also the beginning of a new chapter and of adulthood. And then ordination, while it is the last in a series of a very long series of steps, is really the beginning of a lifetime of ministry. So many times we find ourselves at these interchanges where an ending becomes a beginning, and sometimes it's a celebration like these ones that I've mentioned, but other times it's just any kind of change that is something we've either chosen to do, or maybe it's a change that's been thrust upon us. It may not be something that is of great celebration. It might be a really difficult time where something has come to an end and we're beginning down a new road. And so when we're in those circumstances where the future ahead is perhaps uncertain and maybe a little bit scary, I think it's important that we respond as disciples. And one way that we could do that would be to look back with gratitude. Not with nostalgia or longing or a wish that things could just stay the same, but to look back on all that has come to pass and all that we've learned with gratitude. And then to look forward with faith. Because no matter what that future holds or how scary or uncertain it might be, we can remember that whatever lies in the future, God goes before us, and Jesus walks with us. In this scripture today, Jesus is walking to Jerusalem. As we come to the end of chapter 9 in the book of Luke, Luke begins a section that's called the traveling section. Verse 51 tells us that Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, and he is beginning to travel towards the city. And the travel narrative continues until chapter 19 when he enters the city. So our reading today is close to the beginning of that journey as Jesus offers some harsh truth to some would-be disciples. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Last week, as we celebrated the confirmation of 7 new young disciples of Christ, we stood and we affirmed our faith with a creed that that group of students had written. And it ended with the statement, "We believe that living as a disciple can be hard work, but it is worth it." I felt like there was a very wise statement from our youth, and I felt like it fit really well with our scripture today. It's a good remark on this passage because Jesus is setting the expectation for discipleship pretty high. So let's look at these three scenarios. First, "I'll follow you," the person says. And Jesus warns him that as a follower, he may not fit into the world anymore. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is warning him to really know what he is getting into, that it's not going to be easy, that it might be hard. Because when we become disciples of Christ, this world becomes our temporary home. And that means that sometimes we might have to make choices that don't make sense to the rest of the world. We might have to respond in ways that don't make sense. And so God is telling this person that being a disciple is hard, but that it is worth it. Number two, the second person. This one's really rough. This is probably the harshest of the three. "Let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus responds, "Let the dead bury their dead." For a first century Jew, burying their father would be a high and holy responsibility. But Jesus is saying that even that comes second to proclaiming the kingdom of God. Now, it might make you feel better. It made me feel a lot better that I read some scholars believe that this person's father wasn't actually close to death or maybe not even dying, but it was just kind of his way of saying, "I will follow you. Just let me finish this part of my life first. Let me live this season of my life first, and then I will come and follow you." And what Jesus is telling him is that we can't wait for all of our circumstances to be right before we become a disciple of Christ. When we were younger, we might have thought, you know, I'll have plenty of time for church when I'm older and Saturday nights just aren't as much fun. And then when we got a little older and Saturday nights really became a lot less fun, we thought, well, there'll be plenty of time when the kids are older and it's just easier to get them up and out of the house. And then maybe a few years later, it's like, well, there'll be time later when there's no more like baseball and swim and soccer and all of those things that we have to do on Sunday. And then maybe a little later, it's, well, there'll be time after I retire and I can rest more during the week. So I'll have plenty of energy for church on Sunday. There's always some reason why it's not going to be the best time or why it's not going to be convenient to be a disciple of Christ. And so what Jesus is telling this man and what Jesus is telling us is that if you are waiting for the perfect set of circumstances to be a follower of God, you will never find them. And then even crazier, I've had people tell me, you know, I just don't feel like I can go to church yet. I just need to work on myself first and become a better person. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. That's why we need to come to church, right? Sometimes that's when we need Christ the most, is when we feel like we need to work on ourselves to become a better person, whatever that is, better person. Jesus is calling us to follow him now. in the midst of whatever crazy circumstances are going on in our lives. And then we come to the last person. Lord, I will follow you, but let me say goodbye. And Jesus tells him not to put his hand to the plow and look behind him. Now, most of us today don't usually plow things, so this might be a little hard to relate to or appreciate. But I think we can kind of get the idea that if we're trying to create a straight line ahead of us, and even if it's straight, the act of looking back to check is probably going to make the next bit not straight, right? I certainly have never plowed anything, so I was trying to think of ways that I could relate a little bit more to this passage. And many years ago, I used to dance. And so I thought about turns and spotting. So if you have ever, you know, heard about or been a dancer, the idea is that when you're doing spins and turns, you have to find a spot. And you have to whip your head around even faster than you're turning your body so that you can keep your eyes focused on that spot. Otherwise, you're going to get dizzy and you're going to fall down. So Jesus is our spot. It's that focal point that we have to keep whipping our head around to focus on, despite all of the distractions that might be going on around us. I also thought about, if you're not a dancer, I thought about Interstate 10, which is kind of a weird analogy, I guess. But Interstate 10, as you know, is a very long highway. It runs about 2,400 miles. It starts in Santa Monica, California, and it goes all the way to Jacksonville, Florida. It's an east-west interstate, but at some points along the way, you might find that your true heading as you're on it might be north or south. There's going to be congestion at some point along the way. There's certainly going to be construction at some point along the way. And as you travel through all the different cities and towns that lie along the interstate, there will be lots of attractive detours and things that you could see. But at the point is, if you get on it in Santa Monica and you stay on it the whole way, you will arrive in Jacksonville, Florida. And so as we journey as a disciple of Jesus, we can remember that it will sometimes be peaceful, like those long stretches through Arizona of beautiful southwestern scenery. But other times it will be full of distraction and congestion and construction, and it's going to be hard. But if we stay the course, if we keep following in the footsteps of Jesus, we will arrive. We may not know exactly where the journey is going to go, and we may not know how it's going to end up, but if we know who we are following and we know who holds the future, we can look forward with faith. I basically feel like Jesus is telling us in this last section that the map that we need is the one that tells us where we're going, not the one that tells us where we've been. This traveling section in Luke from 9 to 19 is just really all about following Jesus. Sort of summing up what being a Christian, what being a disciple of Christ is about. The obedience to God's call on Christ's life as he set his face toward Jerusalem and headed that way, knowing how it would end. Knowing that it would end in his death, but trusting the Father that there would be victory in that death. And the obedience that God calls for us to have as disciples of Christ. As we journey through life, people should be able to tell that we are disciples. Something about us and the way that we respond should be different. You know, even amid all of the celebrations that I mentioned as I began this morning, it was a heartbreaking week for a few different reasons. The most heartbreaking, of course, the tragedy in Uvalde and the senseless loss of so many lives. It wasn't lost on me as I watched my son walk across the stage and receive his diploma that there are 19 families that now will not have the privilege of doing that. And so it's easy to get distracted by the circumstances and the emotions that we feel. Anger, grief, a sense of hopelessness, a sense of inadequacy and frustration. All of those are valid. But sometimes I think those emotions cause us to lash out at others in a way that doesn't feel like it puts Jesus first. We line up on sides and we point fingers. And when we do that, we end up not witnessing for Christ very well. So finding our spot, keeping Jesus at the center so that we can respond in a Christ-like way. Respond, of course, with prayer and compassion for a community that is so stricken by grief at this time. But also to respond with an action that resists evil as we are called to do in our vows of baptism and confirmation and membership. And take steps to try and keep it from happening again and again and again. Even if it means that we have to take a position that isn't popular with the world. Because remember, Jesus said that we wouldn't always fit in to the world. There's certainly no easy answers. It's a problem that exists on so many levels. It is a spiritual problem. It is a mental health problem. It is a legislative problem. There's no one way to fix it. And anybody who tells you there is one way to fix it doesn't have the answer. Being a disciple is hard work, but it is worth it. I just kept thinking about that statement this week that the confirmands wrote. It's hard work, but it's worth it, not just for our own personal salvation and for the hope that we can have for ourselves through these dark times, but for the impact that knowing and sharing Jesus can have on the entire world. To share the peace and the hope that only comes from knowing and loving God. To be able to share the empathy and compassion with others that would lead to a better and more peaceful world. As we make our own journey of discipleship, I pray that we have the strength to remember that Jesus set a pretty high expectation for us. But through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace and the strength that God provides, it is possible to stand up to the world, to stand out as different, to show others what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Not only for ourselves, but for the entire world to see. Let us pray. Almighty God, today we come and we ask for strength that can only come from you. Strength to stand in a world that tempts us to bend and to conform to its will rather than yours. Grant us courage to put you before anything else. Grant us the compassion to hold and accept those who are different than we are. Give us a voice to proclaim the gospel of hope and peace that the world needs to hear. Strengthen us for the journey, Lord, and magnify your presence so that we may always be aware that through it all, you walk beside us. Amen.